Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This is the Starship Sofa, everybody. Welcome. Hello and welcome to a Hugo Award special. This is part two of our special look at the Hugo Awards.
So I'm joined by Cheryl Morgan, who runs Starship Sofa's observation desk and who has actually won Hugo Award for Best Fan Writer. Cheryl, nice to have you on board.
I've won two, actually, Tony.
How that is
lovely to be here.
No, that's amazing. Do you know what I mean? And have you got them there, Cheryl, just on your desk? Are they in the house, you know?
No, they're in California.
Right.
It's I haven't had a home of my own here in the UK for a while, so I've left them with Kevin. He can look after them.
Two bloody Hugo Awards. Wow, that's amazing.
It's kind of cool, yes.
And we've also got the next guest who's got the great claim to fame to have been a dismal last in the Hugo Awards. Never won one, but has always been there, you know. Jonathan Strahan. Jonathan.
Hello, Tony. Yes, indeed. I've been a nominee. Well, this is my third time, but I've been a nominee twice and have come a distant, dismal last. I think dismal is important to use. I mean, every year after the Hugo Awards, George Martin gives out these Hugo Loser ribbons, right? And he's even talking about doing a Hugo Loser pin, which I really hope that he will. But I should get like the Bull Goose Loser pin, you know, the super big one that says, you know, he lost even more because Ellen Datlow was like a million miles in front of him. So, but no, it's great.
You know, even it's still that, you know, Jonathan, just getting nominated must be just an amazing thing for you as well. Is that right?
Oh, it's a great joy. I'm thrilled. I mean, I've been reading science fiction since I was 8. I've been following Hugo Award winners for 30 years or something. I worked with someone who won 30 of the things or something. So I've seen just about every single different Hugo that's ever been, you know, given out. And to even be in that group as a nominee and to never ever win is just a thrill and a joy that I'll never sort of get over completely. I'm just chuffed as hell. And if I never get nominated again, I will be very, very happy when I was.
Well, I've got you both here, just really to have a little chat about, you know, the weeks are getting closer and closer to the end, but in the Hugo voter pack's out there now, and it's just really to have a little talk about what's, you know, the kind of nominations that are up there and this voter pack. Now, Cheryl, you actually emailed me and says it's out there now, the voter pack, Tony. Cheryl, is this the first time there's been this, like, online voter pack come, or is it...
Well, no, it's kind of been evolving over the years. I mean, it started out that just we persuaded the publishers of the short fiction to put their stuff online for free. And then a couple of years ago, John Scalzi came up with this idea of persuading the publishers to actually do like a big giveaway where you get ebook copies of some of the novels and the related works and whatever. So he did that for a couple of years, and it was very successful. And now he's handed that over basically to the fans who run Worldcons. So the AussieCon 4 people have done all the work on it this year, Vince Dougherty and Kate Kliegman, who are running the Hugo admin. And it's an amazing package that they've got out there now, that if you are a Hugo voter and you only need a supporting membership to do that, then you get this enormous package of stuff with novels and related works and short stories and graphic novels and goodness only knows what samples of stuff there. So it's a really, really good value.
Cheryl, do you know, just, you know, because that must be a worthwhile thing anyways, even if you're not that bothered in voting for the Hugo, it must be a cost-effective thing, is it, to buy that for what you get in it? Or is it still a little bit pricey for what you get in it?
Oh, no. I mean, no, as long as you're happy reading ebooks, which of course not everybody is, you know, you've got a whole pile of novels out there. You've got 6 novels to start with that you get free ebooks of. And then you've got some of the nonfiction works as well. So that's a few more complete books. You've got, I think, 3 complete graphic novels in there. It really is good value. I mean, for a UK, it's £25 for the whole lot.
Mm-hmm. Bargain. I know they came to me and asked me to submit some work, you know what I mean? And I did all that. And I've never seen the voter pack, and I haven't bought one, do you know what I mean? So, Jonathan, been up for, like, best editor? Is it best short editor you're up for?
I'm up for, yes, I'm not up for best tall editor, I'm up for best short editor. best editor short fiction, yeah, that's it, yes.
Did you have to submit anything, or are you kind of out of that?
No, actually, it's not that I'm over that, I would love to. It's never actually come along. I think they're confused as, you know, to what you do with editors, whether you ask, because it's kind of complicated getting all of an anthology or a batch of magazines. I mean, I would have thought, and in fact, I need to follow it up. In fact, I might even contact the people and see if they want copies of a couple of the anthologies. And, you know, I would have thought, let's say for Sheila Williams, you know, a couple of copies of Asimov's or something, so people have an idea of what we're doing and why we're nominated. But, I mean, when you get to the best editor long form, it's much more complicated, obviously, because they're the guys who edit novels. And, you know, if you're managing, say Patrick Nielsen Hayden, dozens and dozens and dozens of books into print, how many can they give you for nothing as part of the packet? So yeah, they usually don't include us, but there are a couple of things that I edited that are in the pack. You know, the Peter Watts story, The Island, the Nicola Griffith story, It Takes Two, they're both from books of mine. So, you know, I'm sort of slightly represented.
I think the awareness is beginning to come through that when we first started doing editor long form, there was this view that nobody would know who edited any of the books, and therefore the category would be a disaster. But we've seen this year a couple of new names on the editor long form ballots, Liz Gorinsky and Julia Ullman. And surprise, surprise, they have their books in the best novel list. Liz was the editor for Cherie Priest's Boneshaker, and Juliet edited Kat Valenti's Palimpsest and Paolo Bacigalupi's Wind-Up Girl.
Absolutely. And we should also probably, I suppose, allow that for the long-form category, as in, I think, the fan writer category with yourself, David Hartwell disallowed himself, not in the best editor long-form category. Otherwise, he likely would have appeared again this year.
Do you know why he did that?
I think he was being a gracious human being. He had won, and he felt like he had won enough. He had been recognized enough, and he wanted to sort of share the sunshine with other people.
Cheryl, you know what question I'm going to ask you next? I'm sure you took yourself out of the running as well. Is that the same reason?
Pretty much so, yes. I mean, you know, it's an absolutely amazing thing, winning Hugo's. And I'm deeply, deeply honoured to have done so. But at the same time, I don't want to be one of those people that they say, well, she only won because she always wins. Everybody knows her name. She gets on the ballot every year, and people vote for her like sheep. I wanted to get a new challenge, and so I thought, fine, let somebody else win Best Fan Writer, because there are loads of great people out there that that really ought to get read. And in the meantime,
can you lend
I'm
me
hoping.
Sheep?
That...
Sorry, no.
Yeah, sorry. I know it does sound very arrogant to say that. Sort
no,
of
no,
thing,
I don't think it is at all. As soon as... I don't think it's remotely arrogant. I think it's very gracious.
Well, you know, somebody is bound to say that it's arrogant. In fact, people already have said that it was arrogant. So, you know, I can do about
that's
that.
Fandom.
I was going to say, you'd get that anyways, but I mean, then you've got the other side of the coin, and Jonathan, with Locust winning every time for 30 years. Do you know what I mean? And then you've got everyone griping about that, which actually I think now, though, that category, I'm so glad, because wasn't there rumours where they were going to try and ditch that category and...
Oh, they did a couple of years ago. Yeah. There was a thing up, and it was actually right on the precipice of getting cancelled. You know, they'd actually passed the motion originally. They had to confirm it the following year. I think it was in Montreal they had to do it. And that was voted down, so the category continues. Now, it's certainly accurate to say historically it was the Charles N. Brown get him out of the fanzine category here. but it's really evolved a lot now.
That's exactly why it was created in the first place. But as Jonathan said, there's a whole load of magazines now that are eligible for it.
Yeah.
And Locust has some very serious competition.
It does.
I mean, I'd just like to see it. That, for me now, I guess, is now more important than the novel. Do you know what I mean? I like to know which one, you know, which the novel, and that's always going to be the big one. But for me personally, the best semi-prozine... It's my bread and butter. It's who I kind of know, and it's friends, and it's like the and it's certainly like the hot one now. Do you know what I mean? Especially Clark's World, Interzone, and Weird Tales in there. Wow, what a match!
Well, I'd like to think that Locus, who, you know, for those who don't know, I work for, because I'm the reviews editor. I've been working for them for the last 13 years. I'd like to think that they had a bit of a go. And also from a purely sentimental angle, this is the last time Charles Brown's name can ever appear on a Hugo ballot. So, you know, I'd love to see him go out in style, but that's just me. You know, I'm a sentimental kind of person.
Well, Cheryl, I'm sure you're going to go for Clark's World then, are you?
Well, as people may know, I work for Clark's World. I'm a non-fiction editor. I haven't been working for them for very long, only about a year and a bit. But I'm very much hoping that we will do well. We finished dead last year. I wanted to do better than that this time. But at the same time, you know, Charles Brown was a good friend of mine as well. I was very fond of him, and I'm sure that there will be a lot of sentimental voting going on, and I won't mind at all if Locus wins again this year.
Cheryl, was it last year the first time Clark's World was up there for a nomination in Best Semi-Prozine?
That's right, yes. Last year we had our first nomination in Semi-Prozine, and also our first nomination in the World Fantasy Awards. That didn't actually include me, because I didn't start working for Clark's World until January 2009. So this is my first year actually being part of the Clark's World editorial team. And it's our second year on the Hugo ballot, our first year on the Locus Award ballot.
You know, I think you know, there is a shift there now with, you know, we've definitely seen it with this vote and the way it's going for the Hugos this year. Do you know, Clark's World, I'm sure I don't think it's going to come last this year. Do you know what I mean? I don't want to kind of put the kiss of death on it and see, I think it might win. But you know what I mean? It's a popular magazine there now, and it's all that work, you know, Neil did kind of promoting Clark's World and promoting the kind of keep the semi-prozine. You know, then it was a little bit, for me, a little bit too early, but now it's settled in and it's back in there again in the Best Semi-Prozine.
Mm. Well, we've been publishing some kick-ass fiction. So.
You have. I mean, the thing I would say about this category, I mean, whenever there's an awards and there's a category, someone will sit there and go, well, as long as this one doesn't win, I'm pretty happy. In the semi-prozine category, even as someone who's, you know, sort of technically involved, I would not be upset to see anybody win that. Clark's World have had an awesome year. Weird Tales have developed, you know, have really turned around a magazine that was in the doldrums and has become exciting, you know. And Interzone and Ansible are fine publications. So you couldn't say that anybody there isn't a good winner for the award, frankly. So it makes it a great category and something which, you know, I mean, yes, I want Locus to win. I would be very happy to see Clark's World win as well. And I'd be happy to see any of the others. But, I mean, those would be my favorites. I mean, when it comes time to cast my vote, I'll certainly be voting Locus first. But Clark's World will feature very highly indeed, because I think it's become a great magazine. And I kind of wish people would stop talking about it as being an online thing, because I think the least interesting thing about Clark's World is that it appears online. I think the interesting stuff about it is its content, the quality of the fiction, the quality of the nonfiction. And that's what people should be talking about.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah. Should we talk a little bit then about the novel, the best up for best novel?
Sure.
What, Cheryl, you know, I know, like you say, we haven't, and we basically got to go with, you know, who we like, because we haven't read them all, and that's always the case, do you know what I mean? And for my two cents worth, I would just love China Mieville to win, you know, I would love him to win this, and I would love him to win the Nebula, because that just puts that book on a class and a distinction above anything else, you know, to kind of scoop all them awards, you know, that he's won, how many has he won now for the thing, you know?
Just two so far, the BSFA award and the Clark. He's got the Nebula coming this weekend. If he wins that, people are going to start getting really excited about
He's also got a Locus Award nomination in there too.
Yep.
For best fantasy novel. You know, so, I mean, he'd have to be a very strong contender, though, you know, I mean, for me, sentimentally speaking, I'd like to see Paolo Bacigalupi get up. You know, I love China's book. I love Cherie's book. I've read Robert Charles Wilson's book, which I like, but I don't think it's his best. I've not read Cat's book, and I've not read Bob Sawyer's book. But the Paolo Bacigalupi, I'd love to see it win. I just would. I think it's a great science fiction novel, and I'd love to see a great science fiction novel win the Hugo Award again.
Just going off the kind of Twitter talk, you know what I mean? Paolo's book, you know, there was a lot of talk there, you know, that's one. And I think, you know, that one, this is my personal thing, that one and China Mieville's are the kind of the two runners.
Mm.
Like you say, I don't know if Wake is really, you know, I don't know if that's going to even get anywhere, to be quite honest. But this is just my views. Cheryl, go on, where do you think?
You know, if I had to pick a winner, I think definitely either China or Paolo. And probably China out of that lot, although the fact that he's winning everything else may count against him. Personally, I'm enormously torn on this. You know, it's not often that I get several books that I actually nominated on the ballot, but there are three there that I nominated, China, Cat, and Paolo. And they're all great books. I've been fans of China and Cat for years. Paolo's book I loved. I've just read Boneshaker as well, and that's a really, really good novel, so I'm not surprised that it's there. You know, it's a great ballot that we've got this year, and it'll be very, very, very difficult. I don't know who I'm going to vote for yet.
Just out of curiosity then, Cheryl, are you one that leaves your vote until the very last minute, you know, or do you jump in and rush and think, you know, and go with your feeling?
I tend to leave it a fair amount of time, but I do not leave it to the last minute, because I'm always worried that the website might go down under the pressure and in the last day of voting. So I try to vote like two or three days before the deadline, just in case.
Jonathan, how do you do your voting?
I do the exact opposite. Because you can always recast your vote up until the deadline, what I do is I cast a default vote early, and then I amend it if I change my mind. So I've already cast a vote for the Hugos. I did it the day it opened. And if between now and I think it's the 31st of July, if between now and then I change my mind, I'll amend it. But at least I know that I've voted, and I won't forget to have, you know, to cover all the stuff that I'd wanted to. I think getting in early is always good. I mean, the fact you have the freedom to change your vote really makes it easy and sensible to vote early.
Have you told Jonathan who you're voting for? Or are you not going to tell him?
Well, okay, let me put
good politician
way.
There.
I'll put you this way. Cherie Priest is a friend of my publisher's. I've had lunch with China Mieville. I go drinking with Paolo Bacigalupi. Charlie Stross just sold me a story. No, I don't really want to go into it too much. I mean, what I like about it, and this is going to sound like I'm just being diplomatic, all of the ballots are strong, particularly in the fiction. You know, I'm willing to say that in the best novelette category, I really want it to be Peter Watts or Nicola Griffith. I published them. I'm grateful to them for letting me have the stories to put out. And I think they're both very, very fine stories. There are others on the ballot I would understand if they won. But those are where I would sort of say, I mean, other than that, you know, yes, I have personal preferences, but I wouldn't want to sort of make a great big case of it. I mean, if I was going to, yeah, let's throw the dice. If I was going to, I would like to see Paolo Bazzaglupi pick up the novel. I'd like to see Ian MacDonald win a Hugo for his novella. You know, Vishnu at the Cat Circus. I think I'd really love to, Peter Watts or Nicola Griffith. I mean, I love the stories both. And, you know, there's a sentimental thing with Peter Watts where he's had a very hard time of it, of course, of late. And it'd be nice to see him win. On the other hand, Nicola hasn't written much short fiction. This is the first thing she's done in ages, and it's terrific. I really want, actually, I've got, this is one prejudice. I really, really, really want Kids Johnson to win for Spar. I love that story. I know it's yours and it's from Clark's World and all that, but it's a great story. And, you know, I had this conversation with Sean Wallace about it before that was published, saying, you know, they weren't sure if they were going to publish it. Maybe they'd delay it. And I'm going, if you publish it this year, I'll put it in my year's best. Because I already know it belongs there, and it belongs on the award ballot, and it deserves to win. It really does.
You know, like I say, best novelette, then, you know, Peter Watts. And it's hard to say, you know, he's had a hard time, and you shouldn't kind of make that the reason why you go for him. But even before all that, you know what I mean, he's been a great friend of, like, Starship Sofa. And it's funny, I'm going to play, actually, Jonathan, I think it's next week. You know, I've got the recording of Nicola Griffith's It Takes Two, so that's going to come next.
Magic.
Yes, so that's
wow, that's great.
That's coming out on next Wednesday, hopefully. You know what I mean? And Eclipse 3, you know, or Eclipse, the whole series. That's, you know, it's a, that means a lot to me as well. So
thank you.
That's a hard one. Do you know what I mean? You know, I don't know. It's like I'm opening an R in here.
But this is the great thing. You only have to work out your own prejudices and let the voting, you know, take its part course. I mean, to me, the worst thing that anybody can do, and I've heard Cheryl say something along these lines as well, is to look at the ballot and say, I haven't read anything, so I won't vote. This is all about the aggregation of votes, you know. Everybody gets a little bit of a say about what they read so that it can come up with a consensus sort of a position through the vote. So hopefully enough people will have read Iris Filia Agape by Rachel Swirsky, The Island by Peter Watts, It Takes Two by Nicola Griffith, One of Her Bastards is Missing by Paul Cornell, Charlie Stross's Overtime, and Eugene Foster's Story Center, Baker Fabulous Priest. And then they can sit there and make up their own minds. And, you know, me voting for this, you voting for that, it all will even out. And we can sit there and hopefully look at a democratically chosen thing we're all happy with. And the fact that, you know, if we get, let's say 2,000 people show up for Worldcon this year, I don't know what it'll be. If you've got 2,000 people voting, that would be the greatest thing ever, because it would be the most representative vote you could get of the Worldcon community and what they think of the nominees that are in the field. I think it'd be awesome. So, you know, I'm excited. I can't wait. I mean, I will say this. I think Peter Watts is probably one of the five or six most important science fiction writers around right now. So he deserves to be there, and he deserves his chance, certainly.
It would be lovely to know, and we'll never probably find out who's, you know, who's actually, when they do the vote, and how many has actually read the work, or it's just voting because they like that person.
That's the whole point of the voter packet, is that now people can read the work. It's all there. It's available for them, and it doesn't take that long to read the short fiction.
That's true. I mean, you've got to say that Worldcon, which has been running since, 1939 or 29 or something, has never made it easier to be involved in the Hugos in an informed way than it does today. You nominate online, you join the convention online for next to nothing, you vote online, and it's an easy, easy thing to do. You've got the texts for 80% of the nominees in front of you if you just click a download button. So, I mean, this is a easy time to be actively involved, and people really, really should. I think that people can be cynical about awards and skeptical about awards, but in many ways, with a public vote like this one, the result is as good as you let it be. You know, the one thing that would make me angry about the 2010 Hugo Awards is if people were to sit around in the bar sniping about how they're not representative, nobody really cares, and they're not really worth anything. They have the chance to be the best Hugo Awards we've had yet, and everybody who's a member of the convention should be pushing to make that happen, I think.
I mean, one thing that's pleased me is that we've had a record number of people involved in nominations this year, and we've had one of the best nominee slates that I've seen for ages. So, you know, that has to be a good thing. And hopefully we will get also a record number of people participating in the final ballot.
Well, Cheryl, just then, have you got the details how people can come over and vote then? How you go about doing it now if you're not going to go to Worldcon?
Okay, well, you need to go to the AussieCon website, and the URL for that is www.aussiecon4.org.au, and the 4 is the number 4, not the letters. But if you go to worldcon.org, they'll be pointed to it from there. And then when you get to the homepage of AussieCon 4, right at the top it says Announcements, Hugo Voter Packet Released. You click on that and it explains exactly how you can join up and how you can download your voter packet. It's dead simple.
Now we must just cover one certain category.
I can't imagine what category we're thinking about here, Tony.
Best professional artist, right?
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Best fanzine, you know what I mean? It's more what I'm interested in from YouTube point of views. The other ones, talk about the other ones, because I don't know the other. You know what I mean? I'm just in my own little bubble here, in my own little world of Starship Sova. So, Cheryl, do you know most of the other ones? Have you been in contact with them before?
I know all of them. Stephen Silver is a long-time fan from the Chicago area. Argentus has been going for many years. I believe it's been nominated before, and it's a very competent fanzine. It's available on efanzines.com. Certainly deserves to be up there. Banana Wings, Claire Briley and Mark Plummer. That's the other British entry in the field. Again, it's a fine fanzine. It's generally not available electronically, which I'm sure hurts them a little bit. But I think they've got some stuff in the voter packet. Again, it's a very fine fanzine. Challenger, Guy Lillian has been on the ballot for, it seems like, forever, certainly a lot longer than I have, and he's never won. And again, great fanzine available online. I'm sure there must be a lot of sentimental feeling that it's about time that Guy won. Mike Glyer, of course, is a long-time feature of the Hugos. He's won far more Hugos than I have, and he's up there again. He's done a great job of reinventing File 770 as a website, although I believe there's still a paper magazine still available. And finally, we've got the new kid on the block, the irrepressible Chris Garcia, who's a good friend of mine from San Francisco fandom. When we have the weekly meeting of the Bay Area Science Fiction Association, Chris is the vice president, and when he comes to give his report, almost every week he will say that a new issue of the Drink Tank has been published. Some weeks there will be two new issues of the Drink Tank that he's published. How he manages to type that quickly is a mystery to me, and possibly he types a little too quickly for his own good. but his output and his enthusiasm is absolutely amazing, and I'm sure that one of these days he's going to win Hugo.
Are they all like it's still going as a regular magazine? Do you know, none of them's kind of died off. They're all still kind of even now publishing works.
Absolutely, yes. In fact, all of them have been going for a long time. Drink Tank is the newest, but I think all the rest have been going for at least 5 years, possibly 10.
Right, so Drink Tank's just really, I was going to say, because Starship Sofa has probably been going since, I don't know, sometime 2006 maybe. So Drink Tank's newer than Starship Sofa?
I believe so, yes.
There you go.
There you go.
Well, I don't want to, you know, influence your votes, but you know what I mean? I'll be coming around with hatchets and little knives if you don't vote for Starship Sofa, everyone.
Yeah. Drink Tank, by the way, is up to issue 248.
Wow.
Oh, God. I was just going to say, I mean, when it comes to best fanzine, I'm that other generation of people in some ways. I represent them. I mean, a friend of mine was saying the problem with a lot of the fanzines is that pass them around in print copy amongst people who don't get, you know, amongst the set group who know they exist and nobody else is aware of them. The podcasts seem more generally available. I think I've seen one copy of File 770 in my life and no copies of any of the others ever.
But you can read the File 770 blog and you can get Argentus from efanzines.com. Challenger has its own website, and generally Guy puts up an electronic version about 6 months or so after the paper version has gone out. Drink Tank, of course, is.
I don't know.
Yeah, they're all available, but you know, I don't read that much in fanzines these days because there's a limit to the amount of time I have to read.
Mm, exactly.
You can listen to us. One of them.
yes, in the car and in all sorts of places when you can't really read very well. And there's a whole new kind of fan kind of contact. I mean, I was thrilled to see the sofa get up for that reason. I think it shows fandom evolving, you know, just as actually the nominations for the Hugos do. I mean, what was it, 93% of all the ballots were cast online, you know. It all ties in with that. I mean, and when I read a lot of the controversy potentially about Starship Sofa being nominated, I couldn't help but think that. It's a generational thing. Maybe not an age generational thing, but a fan/science fiction feel generational thing. We've all moved forward, we're all online, and this is where we're looking. And, you know, I think the sofa might have a bit of a tilt at this, Tony. Yeah. It's too bad you're not going to come down to Melbourne.
I know. Yeah, I'll never mind that.
Who's collecting a trophy?
It's, well, hopefully, you know, it's hard to kind of even talk in them terms of like blushing and like, oh, have we, I don't join you. But if it ever came off, do you know what I mean? Grant's down there. And what would be nice, and it was actually Grant that said it, because I said, oh, you know, Grant, would you go up and get it? Because even if I was there, I would be terrified at getting up. Do you know what I mean? It's like, that's not my scene anyways. And Grant went, oh, bloody hell, right? Okay. And then he came back and said, what would be a good idea if Starship Sofa was looking to do it? Grant would just go up, not say a word, but just have an iPod and just press play. Yes. Against the microphone, and it would be me talking, you know, and Grant would just be this kind of clone just holding this iPod next to the microphone. It would be me saying, hello. So we will wait and see about that, you know what I mean?
I think that's a good idea.
We never know.
By the way, I've just checked, and the first issue of The Drink Tank was actually published in 2005, so I think you are the youngest.
Oh, I'm just a kiddie on the block then. Yeah, well, it's been lovely, you know, having you on here talking about this. Is there anything else, like, you think might win, or is there anything? I'll tell you what I was thinking is, next year will be good to see what's happening. Do you know what I mean? Starship Sofa got in there first. This is what that's chuffed me to bits is. We've getting in there, you know, and kind of wedged them gates open. Is something like Escape Pod going to get in? You know, all the other ones now, you know, the horde's going to come in. I'm hoping that's the case, you know, to see a lot more others, you know, online podcasts and...
I think it'll be slower than that, I hate to say. I think it might take a little while for them to really bed down because, you know, there's a lot of talk to get Starship Sofa's sort of, you know, profile up amongst the non-podcast listening audience. I think it might take a little bit of time for some of the others, even if they've been around a long time, to change their profile in that way so that they start appearing on the ballot with any regularity. And then, you know, sometimes you get lucky, you win once. I mean, Locus won once for their website, you know. Sometimes you have to hammer away and get through the whole awareness of people till the popular vote sort of bubbles you up and you get to have a chance to win. So it can be a slow process because it's about getting awareness across the depth of the community, not the breadth of it.
Any thoughts, Cheryl?
It'll be very interesting as always. I mean, there are categories obviously that we haven't covered. I'd like to see, I think, perhaps somebody other than Doctor Who winning this year because, you know, it gets a little boring having the same series winning all the time. I would love to see Duncan Jones win a Hugo. I'm crossing my fingers he's actually going to turn up, although I think I would make a complete idiot of myself if he did. I was a fan of your dad's when I was a kid.
What's Duncan Jones up? What's he up for then? I'm not too sure.
That's Moon. It's,
right. Right. Yes, now I see what you're...
despite the fact that Jonathan is a good friend, I'd love to see Sheila Williams get a shot because she's the only one of the big three fiction magazine editors to still be getting stories into the Hugo ballot.
Well, if you're going to say that, how about Stanley Schmidt, who is, I hate to say this, the bull goose loser in the history of
yes,
he is
yes.
facing. Someone's going to hate me for saying that. This will be his 33rd consecutive loss if he doesn't win.
That's such a nice way of putting it, Jonathan.
It's not, is it? No. I mean, last year we were sitting there in Montreal and they were unveiling the Hugo, you know, the actual statues, and I was just sitting there going, I kind of wish he'd win. I feel bad for him. I mean, I'd almost feel bad getting nominated if it was my 33rd consecutive one and I hadn't got up. You know, he deserves one. They should make a special one just to give to him. You know, so.
Well, maybe somebody will do. I mean, they're not a Hugo, obviously, but a Worldcon special award or something. I mean, it'd be a bit embarrassing to get a special award for being the greatest all-time loser in the Hugos.
Well, maybe for taking over from John W. Campbell and running the longest run. I think it's coming up on the longest editorship of a hard SF magazine in SF history. So
probably yes. Yeah,
he's got a heck of a. Yeah, exactly. So, and I've got a sentimental one in there. I want Sean Tan to win Best Professional Artist.
I
think he's an extraordinary talent. So.
Yeah, he's the local boy, of course, and he's an absolutely wonderful artist. But I'm afraid I'm still rooting for my friend John Picasso, whose work I love.
It's John is really the only one I know. You know what I mean? So again, that goes back to that voting system where that's the one I know. Well, vote for.
get your voter packet. There's sample work.
There's samples,
a whole table in there. Stefano Martiniere, of course, has got that magnificent cover that he did for the peer version of Desolation Road, which is totally awesome. Don Dos Santos.
He's done some great covers for me as well. It's great.
Well, Cheryl, Jonathan, I'm going to go
he's
through.
Done some artwork.
Jonathan, yes. Cheryl, I'm going to go through, and it's up to you, you know, if you just want to mention or not, but I'll just mention, like, say, best novella. If you just want to just shout out your ones you want, and then we'll end it at that. And if you don't want to mention them, don't worry about it. So, best novel.
Too Close to Call.
Good answer, Cheryl.
too close, but my sentimental preference would be Paolo. I've got the wind-up girl. This would be my sentimental favourite.
China for me.
If I were being sentimental, I'd probably go with Cat.
Best novella.
Ian McDonald.
Cage Baker. Go for me. Best novelette?
Oh, no.
Nicola Griffiths.
Peter Watts. Yeah.
Nicola Griffiths or Peter Watts. Either one.
I love when it's like, oh, you're.
Paul Cornell is going to kill me when I see him on Friday. Don't put this out before.
Best short story, then.
Keith Johnson.
Keith Johnson.
I'm going to go for Will McIntosh.
Okay.
Best related work?
Jack Vance. This is me, Jack Vance. He's 93. It's his autobiography. What a great thing to win the Hugo for. It's Jack Vance.
Jack Vance for me.
I've not read Jack Vance's book yet, but I suspect that one has a very good chance. I obviously, Farr is a great friend, so is Helen. I'm hoping they do well. And John Clute, of course. This is, again, there's loads and loads of great stuff that's up for this one.
Yes.
It's hard, isn't it? Best graphic story.
No opinion.
Captain Britain.
Yeah, that would be good. Paul, that'd be great. He's a very talented man and deserves to win. Actually, Bill Willingham is also a friend of mine. I'd be happy to see either of them win.
Yeah. Bill's done a tremendous amount of amazing work on Fables, and I definitely want to see him win one sooner or later. But this year perhaps was not the best of them.
Well, for me, it's I'm just going to go with the crowd because I don't know anybody, so Captain Britain as well. Do you know what I mean? That's as loose as I can get. Best dramatic presentation, long form.
Not Moon. Avatar.
Moon. Yeah, not Avatar.
just not Avatar, that's all. Anything that's not the Smurf movie will make me happy.
Best dramatic presentation, short form. God, look at how many Doctor Who's are in there. It's good. It's bound to be, isn't it?
I haven't seen any of them. I don't know.
No. I don't have an opinion either, honestly. I've seen the three Doctor Who's, and they've all kind of run together in my mind as being not much of anything. And I don't watch the other two, so I don't have an opinion.
Well, I'll see a Doctor Who so I can just win.
You win.
Best edit at long form.
I've been trying for years to get Julia on the ballot, and I'd love to see her win. But I think Lou will probably win this one, and he definitely deserves it.
Yes, Lou for me as well. Jonathan? Yeah.
Lou is a dear friend and a collaborator of mine. We just did a book together that's coming out. I would love to see Lou win. He deserves it. He's done a lot with Pyre and would be a very worthy winner.
Best editor, short form.
I'm voting for me. I'm voting for me. I will come last, but I will not go down by one vote.
Actually, Jonathan, you get my vote as well, to be quite honest. Sheila Williams is a lovely person, you know what I mean? And I actually don't know Ellen Datlow, you know, and she sounds lovely, but Jonathan, you've been so kind to Starship Sofa with all your work. And that's not the reason, do you know what I mean? Eclipse bloody 1, 2, 3, you know, amazing work there, so definitely for me.
I think the voters might go for the local boy, actually.
I think it's a long shot. I really think it's a long shot.
Jonathan, I bet your palms are sweating there.
Well, let me put it this way. Ellen Datlow is a dear friend of mine. Gordon Van Gelder is a good friend of mine. And I'm friendly with Sheila and with Stan. So I can't say that I would be sorry to see anybody win, you know, or anybody lose, I mean. Or win or whatever.
You know, I know them all as well, but I'd like to see Jonathan or Sheila win.
Best professional artist.
I think Sean will probably win. I would love to see John win because he's been nominated for some time now and I really love his work. Stephen Martinier, I think, has also done some really great work. But I read an interview with him after his last Hugo win where he basically dissed the awards. So I'm afraid I won't be voting for him.
Has John ever won before? Or is this just right?
I'd love Sean to win. He's a dear friend, but it's more than that. I think he's a transformative talent. I think he's the only person I know who I would describe as being a genius, honestly. I think he's that extraordinary. If he doesn't, my choice would be Stefan Martinier. He's done some gorgeous covers for books of mine, and I think that he is the Hugos tend to have, for best artists, have these guys who dominate for chunks of time, and they are guys. Whalen for 100 million years, Eggleton for a chunk of time. And I think Stefan Martinier is likely to be the next guy, and I'd be happy to see him win. But if not him, Sean Tan.
Just out of curiosity, is in the voter pack, is there some artwork you can look at as well, is there?
There is, yes,
right,
definitely.
Right. Just,
there is.
You got a glimpse of it then. This is the hot one for me. Best semi-pro zine. Straight away, I'm going to go for Clark's World. That's my kiddie on the block.
Thank you.
Locus.
Thank
you. I'm going for Locus. I'm prejudiced and I'm biased. And Charles was pretty well known in the Australian science fiction community. He used to come out here and visit quite regularly. So I'm really hoping for sentimental reasons that we win. But if we don't, I have to say Clark's World would be a very worthy winner as well.
Best fan writer.
I was just going to say that I would love Clark's World to win, but I expect Locus to win, and I want Clark's World to win next year. next year, I want to see Clark's World win Best Semi-Prozine, and Peter Watts win, I think it will be Novelette, for the story that we published of his in January. Neither of us will be able to be there, because we're both barred from the US.
Yes. Cheryl, was that the version of The Thing you're talking about, that story by
Peter? That's right, Peter? Yes.
I nearly got that, you know, before Clarksville. I think Clarksville were in the process of getting it, and then Peter says to me, you know, this, do you want to have this? And I didn't have the nerve to take it, because he mentioned in his email about, you know, it could run into all kind of legal things and all kind of suing and everything. And I was thinking, I'm not going to touch that with a barge pole.
It kills me, that one. It's an awesome story. I loved it. I wish I could have published it. I really do. But, you know, these things happen.
Mm-hmm. Best fan writer.
I would like to see it go to either Claire Brierley or Lloyd Penny. I think it will go to Fred Pohl.
Yes.
I don't know whether it's appropriate in some ways that it should go to Frederick Pohl, you know what I mean? But I'd love to see it for sentimental reasons. I would. And also, I mean, I'm not familiar with the writing of the other four, so it's easy for me to say Frederick Pohl. And I have been reading his The Way of the Future blogs site where he's talking about stuff, and it is terrific, so I would be very happy to see him win.
That's exactly the same reasons, Jonathan, for me as well. And I noticed Fred Pohl's got a new post came out not long ago as well, so, you know, do check that. But yes, Frederick Pohl for me. Best fanzine.
Let's all just say Starship Sofa and agree we're going to do that.
I've got little electric prods. You know, I'm just pressing so you get like a little electric jolt if you don't say that. Yeah.
Starship Sofa.
Now, I'm not aware of any of the best fan artists.
Me either.
I'm voting for Dave Howell because he designed that absolutely gorgeous
tree
that I last year.
Yes, you're right. Oh, he has my vote 100 times over. That's the only time I've ever gone to a pre-Hugo thing where they launched a Hugo and people salivated. People who said they didn't care about winning suddenly said they cared about winning.
Explain which picture is this or which...
No, the actual Hugo trophy.
All right.
Each year the Hugo gets a unique base, and it's designed by a local artist, sometimes chosen by committee or by competition. And Dave Howell came up with the Montreal Hugo, which is this beautiful thing, a piece of granite that's been hacked to look like an asteroid, and they've scooped out the middle of it, put some lucite in it with these little iridescent maple leaves that look like flames, and the Hugo's sitting there looking like it's taking off from this asteroid, and it looks phenomenally beautiful, as Cheryl would know because she can look at one every day. Because you won one that year, didn't you?
Yes, I did. Yes, I have one, but it's in California.
You look at a picture of it.
I have pictures of it. Yes. I can phone Kevin on Skype and he can show me how you go.
Have a look, and he's probably scratching the name out and putting his own name there.
He's got one of his own. He doesn't need to.
All right.
Well, he won his the hard way. But I better explain this for the listeners, that generally when you run a Worldcon, you have to order sufficient Hugo trophies to make sure that you have enough to give to everybody. Otherwise, it will be kind of embarrassing. That means that because you can occasionally have multiple winners, they always have one or two too many at the end. And the tradition with that is that if there's one left over, it goes to the chair of the convention with his or her name on it for having done a great job. And in the case of Con Jose in 2002, there were two left over. One went to Kevin and one went to Tom Whitmore. So Kevin has this Hugo that he won for the incredibly difficult task of chairing a Worldcon, and he thoroughly deserves it, and so does every other Worldcon chair.
Yes. Last one then. Well, John W. Campbell Award, Best New Writer. But it's actually, not, like I say, it's not the Hugo Award, but...
I'm going with Shauna Maguire here. I love her Toby Day books.
I'd go with Felix Gilman. I enjoyed the first novel a great deal, and he's represented by my agent, so we have a little connection there as well. So, but I'll be very happy to see him win. Nice guy.
I'm going to go for Saladin Ahmed as well. Just because I've seen him like around on the internet and little posts. Mm-hmm. Like that's the only reason why. It's the one I know. So that's my vote.
Yep. Okay.
Well, Cheryl, Jonathan, it's been lovely. You know what I mean? I was saying before we kind of started, let's just keep this to, 10, 15 minutes. I'm now clocking up right. 47 minutes. This is going out as its own show. I've really enjoyed it. It's been lovely. Well, Thank you so much.
One of the great things about the Hugos is that they get people talking.
Oh, does it not?
They do. And I hope we all get a chance to chat about them in a pub sometime soon, at a Worldcon in the next year or two.
Yes.
I'll see you in a pub in Melbourne, Jonathan.
I look forward to it, and I hope we'll get to cross paths too, Tony.
Yes. Well, if you bring a laptop, I'll be there on Skype.
Well, yeah. And, of course, if London wins the bid, we'll be there.
Oh, that's right, yes.
2014.
Well. That was a great little chat as well. That was some excellent work, Cheryl. Mm. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
So, thank you so much for coming on board. And hopefully,
indeed. It's been a pleasure.
Yes, hopefully we'll get you on after, once it's all been, once the dust settles, a couple of days later, and we'll talk about the winners and we'll gripe on that, that didn't deserve it. Didn't deserve it.
Yes. I should have won.
Just
lost again.
I haven't started yet on the things that should have been nominated and weren't. But, yeah.
Yes, there's a thought as well. Cheryl, Jonathan, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tony.
Will our heroes survive this terrible ordeal? Can they win through with their integrity unscathed? Can they escape without completely compromising their honor and artistic judgment? Tune in next week for the next exciting installment of
Starship Sofa. Evacuation procedure initiated. Shuttle set for launch. Airlock will be opened in 3, 2, 1.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.